Turn to your neighbor and say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, the book of Nahum. We are reading from Nahum chapter 1. We'll read from verse 2. We are reading to verse 9. Are we ready? Now it's a declaration. Is that okay? So 1, 2, let's go then. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a complete end of his sight and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 7 again. Everybody, read verse 7 from the bottom of your heart. Wait first now. From the bottom of your heart, read verse 7 like you are blessed. Amen? Now, 1, 2, let's go. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. One more time.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him.
Hallelujah. Know the truth? The Lord knows you.
Hallelujah.
And those who hopefully wait for him will not be put to shame. You know, many years ago, time flies, getting to over 20 years now, to 25 years. One prayer I prayed. When people were making choices and making decisions, I looked to the Lord. I said, may nobody ever have the opportunity to say, we want him. I said, Lord, that one, do that one for me. Let them look back and say, wow, maybe this guy knew something we did not know. Let them look and say, this guy was wise. I said, Lord, for the glory of your name, you know, there's nothing I'm personally looking for. What I'm trying to say is that when I was making the choices and when we were having these agreements and discussions, I was not saying anything because I was humanly wise. I was hoping in the goodness of God. My hope was set in the word of God, in God's goodness. You know, after I heard all kinds of things, one day I looked, I said, Lord, may it never happen that somebody will look and say, we want him. Somebody who's not walking by faith will look and say, he want me. I said, God, no, you are God. Let that never happen. And let me say to you, just like we read here, the Lord knows those who take refuge in him. And we read the last time, those who hopefully wait for him will not be put to shame. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. A morning in which you have poured out your Spirit again upon us. Our hearts are open to receive the infusion of the Spirit. And therefore we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That word is coming to you this morning, and it's healing you in every area. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. Okay, this morning, let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms number 20. That's it, 20. All right, let's start again. 45. Psalm 45 is where I want us to read from. Now, I've been looking at the goodness of God is the title we give to this series of teachings. And the aim is for us to understand God's character. Everything about God is good, is right, is upright. If you are to rate God's goodness, God's character, different traits of the Lord, which one do I think is more important? Most important? Personally, I think it's the fact that God is righteous. Now, some people say it's the fact that he's love. To me, that's number two. That he's righteous is number one. I read your scriptures, that's the foundation of his throne, righteousness. And that's from studying the scriptures. And that's the fact that he always does what is right. He always does what is right. He never does what is wrong. There's one thing we have been explaining when we were discussing the Bible here yesterday in the discussion. We emphasize it again. You are a Christian, does not make doing wrong tolerable. I need to emphasize it. The righteousness of God means he must apply to you the judgment that he will have applied to an unbeliever. If you do the same thing. His love means he will apply more. Righteousness means if you steal, there's a particular judgment he has applied for thieves. He has prepared for thieves. Christian or Muslim or Hindu or atheist, they get the same. It's worse for the Christian because he got the commandment, do not steal. The atheist probably doesn't know that it's morally, okay, no, not more, everybody knows morally wrong. It's morally wrong to steal. But doesn't know there's somebody watching him. So God says, it's the ignorance we said it. It mitigates judgment. Paul said, I received mercy because I acted in ignorance. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. Why? But we know that the woman sinned first. But she acted in ignorance. The Bible says she was what? Deceived. How was not total ignorance, but at least she was deceived. Please follow it. The man received all the blame. So that's why Christians have a stronger and stricter judgment. Because they can't plead ignorance. They can't plead lack of ability because they have grace. The temptation was strong. Grace much more abounds, the Bible says. The righteousness of God, please, I need to say this again. It is a satanic doctrine. Let me say like I know what I'm saying. Satan prepared a lie and sold it to preachers to preach to Christians. And many of them are preaching it. Now because you're born again. You're born again. So God doesn't punish you. God loves you. So anything you do, he's never angry about anything you do. You know you're born again. Arrant, undiluted nonsense. Judgment begins in the house of God. Didn't you read your Bible? Where did this start? Where does it start from? Judgment. The house of God. Yes, they were reading it here. Where I said, listen, don't do what they were doing in Egypt. And then let me tell you, the land I'm taking you into, I'm not removing them because of you. I'm removing them because of their sin. That their sin polluted the land. And the law is that the land we throw out, vomit them, spill them out, the inhabitants. Their presence have become an irritation to the peace of the land. So he said, let me warn you ahead. If you do what they are doing or what they did, if you begin it, it's a matter of time. You also will fill up iniquity in the land. The land will regurgitate again and you'll be thrown out. Abraham is our father. Wouldn't make any difference. God had a covenant with our father Jacob. It wouldn't work that time. Why? This is not about covenant or lack of covenant. This is about sin and the irritation of the land. And I will be unjust not to apply that punishment to you. Because I said I'm taking you out because of your, you know, idolatry and sexual immorality and wickedness to the poor and the stranger. Now, if you come in and do the same thing, how will I stand before all creation and say I'm a righteous God? And so, I will punish you before you even get to that extent. Because one reason why God does what he does is that he doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to condemn you. So he punishes you. Now, you know, these words can be confusing, but just follow the one I'm going to use. You know, remember I said something earlier? He's righteous, so he must apply judgment appropriately. But because he's love, he disciplines you before you get to the point where he has to wipe you out. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Because his love, he says, see, whether you are my son or you are my enemy, there are things you do, I have to cut you off from the land. You and your descendants. If I don't love you, I leave you to do it. Then one day your cup will be full. But when I love you, when I see you are beginning to pour into a wrong cup, I come and say, come, parents, come here. What's your problem? Why do you do this? You are smiling. I dash you one hot slap. And your own is like, huh? It's just small thing I pour inside the cup. But you don't know what I have seen. I have seen that one day this cup will be full. So the moment I saw you pour into the cup, out of love, I began to fight. But if I didn't know you, I didn't care about you. What is he doing? He's pouring into the cup. Let him be pouring. Knowing that one day the cup will be full, and I will have to wipe out this fellow and his descendants. That is why love makes him stricter with the children of God. So when you see anybody coming to preach to you, that doesn't matter. God is mindful that we're all but flesh. So even if we as a pastor were committing adultery, it doesn't matter. See, that guy is working for Satan. He's making sure, because you see, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, pastor or not. Once that cup is full, the judgment is automatic. God will be a liar and an unjust God if he doesn't apply it. So like we said in our discussion, what is now the advantage of a Christian? So the Christian's advantage, there are a number of things. I've told you one now. The love of God is also warning you. And who is it that fears the Lord? Him he shall do what? Teach in the way that he should choose. So out of the love of God, he sits down and says, come, my son, don't do like this. Say, daddy, why not? This is the way to destruction. But it looks so nice. Don't mind the people. They don't know. That's why they're all entering. Me, I know. So let me tell you now. This road is the road to destruction. And if you fear your father, you will listen to him for your own good. Like the African proverb says, we are trying to save the chick from death. Say, they won't let me go to the open field to play. We know the hawk is around. We know the eagle is hungry and it's up there. You can't see the eagle. It's living very high up. That thing has eagle eyes. No one they say somebody has eagle eyes. Eagle has eagle eyes. We know. And we know your size. You are the type that this guy uses for appetizer, not even breakfast. So we say, don't go out. Say, but that open field is so nice. There I can dig for worms. You will become a worm. Is what we know. Now, that is what God does for his children. Another thing he does, that's number one, he teaches them. Another thing he does is that he empowers them to do right. He doesn't just teach. He gives grace. He doesn't just teach. He does what? He gives grace. So, John said the law came by Moses. So, you know, Moses could tell you, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. That's what Moses could do. But Jesus, after saying it, no, for him, when he says it, it's not a word of admonition. It's a word of power. So he says to that woman caught in the act of adultery, said, neither do I condemn you. Now go. That's number one. I've given you the power to move. And sin no more. I've given you the grace to overcome the temptation of all these men. Now, I don't want to start teaching that now. Those men were the cause of her adultery. Look, let's not start that one now. And Jesus knew, was seeing all of them. Look at this one. Jesus just said, if I tell the whole world where you were 3 days ago, the other one, ha 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 ha, your schedule. He looked at them one by one. When he was writing, he was drawing them. So he said, anyone that has never committed adultery threw the first stone. He didn't say those who have not stolen. He didn't say those who have not borne false witness. The challenge was on adultery. Threw the first stone. They knew he knew. Oh, they knew he knew. That's why they started sneaking away one by one. They knew he knew. They were the reason that woman was an adulteress. But that's not my discussion. He now said to her, go and sin no more. It's called grace. After that moment, she had the power to resist the worst of them. The atmosphere, see, these spirits are in the atmosphere. In my house yesterday, we were studying about Lot again and Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't just wake up and be looking at nice places and not check the spirit that's controlling them. Because that spirit, see, small digression. Let me enter my digression. Remind me where I was. You're my assistant now. And if you need assistance, ask your wife. All right? Just know where I was. Where was I? You don't even know. Now, we have not even left it. You don't know where we were. The Lord is good. Now, in this life, please, when you want to make judgments, when you want to make decisions, when you want to make assessments, what makes you a believer, a child of God, is understanding you have. The Bible says, by faith we do what? We understand. Please don't judge with the seeing of your eyes and the hearing of your ears alone. It's one of the things you add. Yes, you'll see something. You will hear some things. Then because you are born again, because you have spiritual insight, you now go beyond that level. I hope I get my point. Before you head to Sodom, check the spiritual climate. Before you say, my son is going to university. What is he going to learn? Is it not physics, chemistry, biology? All those things he learned in secondary school. Okay, professionalize it now. He's going to become a lawyer. He's going to be an engineer. He's going to be a doctor. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. That's one thing. These are just the physical things. But these are the critical years of development. Ask yourself, how will it be supported spiritually? I can't just shape you away for 4, 5, 6 years. And in my thinking, I don't care about the spiritual development. I only care about the bachelor's in law and bachelor's in engineering. I only care about that. That's a sign of people don't understand the covenant. When Abraham was going to choose a wife for Isaac, go and check the way he reasoned. Two things were in his mind. One, what was their worship life like? The worship life of that girl. And two, would she agree to move to the promised land? And the servant said, what if she doesn't agree? He said, under no condition will you take my son and go back to where God said I should live. Does she know how to cook? It's another issue. Is she a fine girl? It's another issue. Those things are not important. Abraham gave two critical things. What kind of worship are we dealing with here? And secondly, will she agree to obey the call of God? As a young man then, when you're talking about marriage or no marriage, when they said, okay, which kind of wife would you like to marry? I wrote the story in my book, Shall I Say Yes? I said there were just three things. I didn't say the girl should be a Christian. No. You know why I didn't say so? Because I wanted to marry a Muslim? No. Because if I'm saying she should be a Christian, it means it's a matter of discussion. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's like saying that, please, it can't be a monkey, cannot be a baboon, and cannot be an orangutan. Do you get what I'm saying? No. If I'm going to marry, assume that I'll marry a human being. Is that not so? A human female. A woman. If I say it has to be a woman, cannot be a man. You know, if I say that, you'll be like, excuse me, which country do you live in? Are you cisgender or transgender? Do you get my point? So those discussions, you know, couldn't come up. For me, that you'll be a Christian was so basic that I didn't have to put it as one of the criteria. It was too basic. Like, simply help me find a wife. Please make sure it's not a man. I mean, why am I saying that? What did I put inside? Now, this is where I'm going. There are three things you can read in my book. But one of the things I put inside was that the fellow must believe that I'm called to teach. I'm called to preach the gospel. And that I can teach her. I don't know everything, do I? But I can't be arguing with my wife. I don't know what I get my wife. I'm not saying I know everything. You go to a church where you and the pastor always argue, go to another one. It doesn't mean that you are wrong. Just means this guy is not big enough for you. See, get my point. It doesn't mean you are wrong. I mean, you go to Truth Assembly, Pastor Kim finishes preaching. At the end of the day, you sit down with your wife, you're analyzing everything he said. That thing they quoted in 1 Samuel chapter 5. It's not verse 2, it's verse 15. And then when he said Samuel, he said it's not Samuel, it's the spirit in Samuel. He said that then the Lord said, it's not the Lord, it's the angel of the Lord. By the time you finish with his message, your wife has no faith again. You took his message and turned it. Do you get my point? See, please, can I beg you? Don't go back to that church next Sunday. It's not fight. I know you like the communion, the fellowship there. They won't bless you. And that 6 months, you'll be having mental problems. I'm telling you, don't go. I'm advising you. You'll start dreaming bad dreams. Now, not because you are bad, though, but because this man of God is not man of God enough for your man of Godship. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's why I added that one to it. I said, my wife must believe that I can teach, that I'm anointed, not the natural gift, that I'm anointed to teach, and that I can teach her. You get what I'm saying? For me, that was one major one. And some time after we got married, we're just having a conversation, just a discussion. And I asked her a simple question. I wasn't quizzing her, we're just having a conversation. I said, the greatest person that blessed me, I was mentioned some men of God. I said, can make it such a tremendous blessing when we're growing up. When I met Bishop Oyedepo, it transformed my thinking. I was just talking, and I asked, who has been the greatest blessing in your life in teaching you? She reasoned for a while. She said, I guess it has been you. I said, what did you say? She thought again. I said, I think I've learned more from you than anybody else. Honestly, I was surprised. I was so surprised that, what? Now, you look back after that time, like, how many hours has she spent with Bishop Oyedepo or with T.D. Jakes? Me? She had always. And she... Even when she's sleeping, I'm teaching. Did you hear that? No, you sleep in 5 minutes. Hear this one first. Do you follow what I'm going to say? All right? Please, I'm saying something here. So when you are making decisions, critical decisions, there are things you weigh. Abraham weighed that and said, see, for me, Abraham was telling the servant, fine girls are good, though. They know how to cook. If they can catwalk, perfect. If their Instagram page, by the way, just a small aside, inside their site. Don't ever believe anything you see on the screen. This modern day screen. There are people I know. I see them on the screen. And I blink. Is it you that I know? Let me tell you something. Small aside. You know? You know Instagram? You know Instagram? It's one of the most profitable businesses in this world. Yeah. That is for the owner. I don't mean for you. I mean, for the owner, Mark makes so much money from Instagram. Do you know why? I'll tell you. When I saw the analysis, it was interesting. His turnover is not more than that of YouTube. But YouTube shares 50% of all the monies they make with the content creators. But Instagram does not share shishi with anybody. No. If it makes $1 billion, it belongs to the company. If YouTube makes $1 billion, half of it has to go back to those who created the content they place on YouTube. It's people like us, they cheat because we put content on YouTube and preaching nice on YouTube. They don't give me five kobo. Hey, just by the way, if you see adverts, and I need to make this announcement. If you see adverts on our channel, please, we are not monetized. So they put adverts everywhere. Whether you monetize, before, when we first started, if you don't monetize, they don't put adverts on your channel. But a few years ago, they decided that they need more money. Whether you monetize or not, they put adverts on your channel. And if you don't monetize, they don't share the money with you. So we are not monetized. So if you see adverts, please don't be angry with us. Don't say, they've gone the way of the flesh. I'm not saying we are immune to it. We are praying so that we'll not go that way. But right now, we have not gone. And we will never go in Jesus' name. Amen. But just for you to understand, okay? Now, I'm just going back. Let me just get back to the message. You know why Instagram is like that? YouTube, they don't give the content creators the money. They will stop. Because they actually produce content. They educate you. They make videos. I learn a lot watching their videos. There are channels I follow. Sometimes financial channels, sometimes history, different things. But they say Instagram. You know why they don't bother? They say it's vanity they came here to display. We won't pay them for it. Yeah. Instagram knows. All they owe you is filters. They have apps that can, an app that can help you lose weight is there. App that can make you gain weight is there. That can turn Michael Jackson to you, from a black man to a white man is there. Just go there, snap yourself. I want to be white. Man, that's it. You're looking like Michael Jackson. They filter everything. They realize that people come there to do vanity. And that whether you give them money or not, they will be back. So, hey, back to what we say about wife choosing. Those of you who are looking at photo to decide who you want to marry, please, let's do an MRI scan to check whether you have a brain in your head. Because you see, you should know that it doesn't work. Do you get my point? Please, those three things don't mean... One day my wife and I, there's this very famous woman, you know, who doesn't do anything, but she's very famous. One day I told my wife, I said, you know, we have never seen her. They don't know her, that is true. We have never seen her. There's no picture of her you have seen that's not touched. There's nothing that's not well curated. None. That's a small aside. I'm just advising people, okay? Can we get back to what we are saying? So when you are making decisions, remember Abraham, we're talking Abraham and Isaac. Abraham looked at Eliezer, looked at his servant and said, see, make sure the girl, let's just put two things together. One, worships right. She's not an idolater like the people around here. I've heard people, somebody asked me once, but Abraham said he wanted to marry from his place. Why can't she marry from her place? I said, why can't you get the spirit of what they are saying? You are from Arundigo Zogu. That is what you... Yeah, really. Do you get somewhere like that? That's your concern. You want to marry from your people who worship idols, who bow to cola. Do you get what I'm going to say? That's what is concerning you. Abraham, that was not his concern. He was not concerned about his people because they were his people. He was concerned about people who knew God and could worship appropriately. Even when to go into the literal... My people think your people now are Christians. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your people now are the people of God. Your people now are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are now your people. Don't people just take, you know, some people quote some scriptures and you don't even know how to answer them. Exactly. This young woman's argument was that Abraham sent for a wife from amongst his people. So why can't she be a brother and send all the way to Udi? Oh no, a man now, sent for, you know, so you have to be from my village. You know, there are things you say, now listen to this carefully. There are things you say and you have denied the lordship of Jesus Christ in action. In his days, Edco would teach us that practical, there's what they call practical atheism. And I'm using the word now, practical denial of Christ. He said, practical atheism is not lifting a fist and saying there is no God. Says living like there's none. That you don't have to say it. Let's just see how you live. You don't have to say there is no God. Just see how you live. Any corrupt person is a practical atheist, does not believe in the judgment of God. Do you know what I said? If you oppress the poor, you are a practical atheist. You don't believe in the judgment of God. Because if you did, if you understood that God was alive and watching you, there are things you would not do. Back to what I was saying, before I go back to the main message. When you are making choices, there are things you must look at critically. I see parents all the time, they don't seem to, you know, they don't factor it in. Hey, one man of God teaching once, let me not quote who said it so that I won't be ascribing to the wrong person. A woman in her church came and said that, they've gotten she and her husband. No, a man, not a woman. A man came to him and said, I got a new job. And told him how much better the job paid and how nice the city where the company, you know, is situated, all right? Or was situated, was, because this was long ago. And so they'll be taking the job, assuming, let's use today's money. Maybe here I'm earning so and so amount, let's say 250,000 naira a month. That one, they're going to pay me 300. I'll have to leave town. I'll go there and all of that. So he came to inform the pastor. So the pastor said, okay, that's nice. So we'll be, I'll take the job. We'll relocate. So the pastor just asked him a simple question. Which church will you be going to? The man had never thought about it. The man just asked. It wasn't quarreling with him. So when you get to this city, this is America, not Nigeria. He said, when you get to this city, which church will you be going to? So this one had made up his mind to take a new job, relocate his family, had not even for one moment considered their spiritual welfare. I know the kind of thing he was thinking of. When we get there, we will look for. And when you behave like that, it shows you don't value some things. Is it not possible for you to say, look, I'm earning this amount here. I'm moving to the other city because I need to develop spiritually. And I met this man of God recently. This is where he preaches day and night. I want to relocate close to that place so I can hear the gospel for the next 2 years. But your salary will drop. Doesn't matter. But my spiritual value will go up. We Christians, that's what we do a lot of times. And practically, we don't care about spiritual things. And that's what I talked about faith. Real faith. He said, I talked about total faith. He said, have faith in God always. It's not just once. It's a constant thing. If you're not making decisions like this, your faith is being weakened. How can you be planning relocation? And you have not even... See, only one of our brothers told me something. So he was moving to another country. I said, okay, good. I just asked him a simple question. Your children are at a particular age where they need to grow. I mean, like, they are growing, so they need to have sound spiritual, you know, support. So I said, what's the plan? You know what? The answer he gave me, he said, that's the problem. I said, wait, excuse me. That is the problem. And you haven't solved it? I don't know whether you're getting my point. So you recognize it's the problem. And you do not have an answer for me, and you are going to make that decision? Please, people of God, let's be careful. You know something, I won't tell you the whole story, but something happened. I had some experiences, not me, just people around me. So that by the time my wife and I started having children, after we got married, started having kids, Akindu was born after some time, his younger brother. We had a policy before the first one came. That if any one of these children fall ill, they must never be alone. So my children were small. Once you have a fever, you can never be out of my presence or my wife's presence. We used to do tag team. You know what we call tag team? When you are fighting wrestling, you touch. You're not here. Yeah. So my wife wants to go out. I have to be late for everything that morning. He said, please, I want to go and drop these ones in school. I need to go to the market. I have to do this one. I will wait. You call me from the office, I can't leave. I have to be calling. I say, please, hurry. You know, I have a meeting in the office by 11. He said, I'm on my way. It's only when I'm sure she's heading for home, that is when I enter my car. Why? The child that has fever, for information, is not unconscious. If I remember the day my daughter was ill and I wanted to go out, my wife said she was on her way back. She was big enough to come to the door. I said, Daddy, where are you going? I said, I'm going to work. She said, can I come? I said, no, you can't come. I'm going to the hospital for goodness sake. Why will you come? She now said, I never get to go anywhere. I said, but you go to school. He said, it's only school. I said, but you go to church. He said, it's only church. I said, but you go to the mall. He said, no, I never get to go to work. I started laughing. I had to beg. She was ill. I had to beg her. Okay, sorry, baby. Please, you can't go to work. Eh? But mommy is on the way. That was when I was able to leave. For certain reasons. I can't give it my reasons now. I just said, no, you will never. What am I going to explain? Something led to it. I just have to explain to God that there's a value I need to place on these children. So there was never a time one of them is not feeling well and both parents are not there. No. I don't care. Now listen, there are times I have another adult in the house. But for me, it didn't matter. Even if all I'm doing is sitting down and working on my computer, I have to be inside that house or my wife is inside there. And she understood that if she's the one there, she can't go out. She wants to go out, she has to call me. When are you coming back? You know, Benga is not feeling well. Yes, I remember. So I said, okay. He said, please, I need to go somewhere. All right, I'll try and close on time. I'll be back home so and so time so you can go. Otherwise, she can't go. A number of experiences made me come to that conclusion. Back to the story I was telling you about that man. He said, he looked at that man and said, wait, you're changing your job and you've not considered which church you will go to. All you've considered is how much money will I earn. When you behave like that, you see, Bishop Oyedepo used to say to us, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue to you. The sense of value. Many of us are not ready to take a pay cut to get better spiritual nourishment. God is not angry with you, but he has placed you. Many of us are willing to take a spiritual cut to get more money. He's not angry. He has placed you. I told my brother that day, I said, you see, that's the problem. I said, what do you mean that's the problem? If you knew what's the problem, why haven't you solved it? Why haven't you solved it? And you're coming to me to tell me you're planning to move from here to here, and you knew there would be a problem, and you have not even tried to see what I will do about it. Just left it that when we get there, we'll, you know, like when we get that bridge we'll cross it. Meanwhile, you didn't say that when you were planning financially. You didn't say that when you were planning for your comfort. But you said that when it came to the issue of how will my children be built up, grow up in righteousness and in the fear of God. Please, when you are making choices, these are the things God checks. See, we're talking about how God judges yesterday. One of the things we said, all right, is that he judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. One, he judges actions, we know that. Number two, the actions are judged based on the motivations, the unseen thoughts, the unseen motives behind them. You may do what is right and God scores you negatively because the reason why you did what was right was bad. For example, Paul thinks the only word I can preach. He is in prison. Now let's go and preach. We win more souls in his absence so that he will know he's not the only apostle. And you know the funny thing? The Holy Spirit will fall upon you mightily. Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit that could fall on your donkey. Holy Spirit rides on all kinds of persons. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Was that not the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit said, no, I didn't know you. He said, but you used us. I use now. All the knives I used, do you think I know their names? You used us. I did. Because you are available. So the Holy Spirit will come on those people. They will do crusades and multitudes will get healed. They will be converted. The church will grow. Paul will come out of prison in their mind. Paul, you're making all of us anointed. And Paul said, share the gospel was preached. I rejoice. Now, this is the funny part. All the credit for that work, God will give it to Paul while he's in prison. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. He said, why? Your heart was right. Their heart was wrong. So when we're making decisions, when we are taking actions, God looks behind. Why? Now, where am I going? You see, when you want to make decisions, God is testing you to see how you came to that conclusion. And every decision you make, every reason you have, will fall in two categories. It pleases God, it doesn't please God. It's one of the two. Many times, you know, what happens to us is that we make up our mind and we refuse to weigh the critical things because even though we know them, if we were to weigh them, it will change our outcome. And that's one we don't want to change. Let me tell you, God is not just checking your actions. What you did is why. Like I said in TCC last weekend, I said hearing from God is what? Those of you who are there, what did I say? So overrated. Pastor Mark, what did you say? You're not the man of God. I say it again. So you know I said it almost a week ago. Today is Saturday. I said it last Sunday. So almost a full week. I've had time to think about it and repent of my mistakes, right? Now let me say it again so you know I have not changed my mind. Hearing from God is overrated. What did God say to you? God said, back you come. Like my friend Pastor Corey said, he said, they hear anything they want to hear. Forget this thing. That's why I say hearing from God is overrated. What are we supposed to rate highly? How did you come to your decision? It's called precepts. Which precepts are you using? God cannot say to you, I use the word cannot, what you cannot hear. Okay, let me say it like this. He will not say to you what you can't hear. Let me use that word. He's constrained. So there are things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. So I have to restrain from saying them. The way I illustrate it I've not found a better illustration that, okay, it's for those of us who live in Nigeria, especially southern Nigeria, so you understand it well. If God, now please, for those of you who don't live in Nigeria, you don't know Nigeria, or you don't understand southern Nigeria well, I'll try and explain the context. So I said, if God were to say to me, Banky, now let us assume, God wants me to come to Enugu from Lagos. It's about 500 kilometers or so. Yeah, something like that. All right? Now, it crosses three major geopolitical zones of Nigeria. Southwest, south-south, and southeast. You get to Edo Delta. You come from southwest, then you cross Edo, cross Delta, and then you cross, you go overseas. There's a critical bridge there that defines things in Nigeria. It's what we call the Niger Bridge. One, see, the principality after the bridge is different from the one before the bridge. You've not noticed? Me, I think so. Now, you can argue that one, but that's my feeling. I get this funny feeling. I don't know about you. If I'm coming from, driving from Benin side, once I cross that bridge, as if I've reached home. There's this feeling of, as I cross the bridge, enter Onitsha like this, you think I live in Onitsha. Meanwhile, I don't live in Onitsha. I still have to cross the whole of Onitsha, drive all the way to cross Oka, you know, then come to Enugu and pa. I still have like 2 hours in front of me. But once I cross the bridge, it's as if, we are home. You can smell home from there. when I'm going the other way, it's the same thing too. Once I cross, if I'm going to Benin, once I cross, I enter Asaba, I just feel like, you almost feel like parking and buying corn and just relax because you've reached where you are going. Meanwhile, the journey is still far. Now, so just to help people who are not here understand, okay? Do you know, I had a friend when I was 7. One guy, we lived together as a pharmacist. I was shocked. This boy grew up in Lagos, not Lagos as in, you know, Ikeja, Apapa, and Ikorodu, no. That guy grew up in Isaleko. You know what they call Isaleko? No, Lagos Island is not Isaleko. Lagos Island is the island. Isaleko is... That is when you hear of Lagos. You know, that's... Okay, like those of you hear about area boys, they were in charge of that place. I don't want to use some bad words to describe the place, all right? There are a few places like that in Lagos. We mentioned Ajegunle. It's another side like that. This guy grew up in his... One day he was going from NYSC. And he had cash on him. He used to do small business. Not now, we could just do transfers. I'm talking about 93. So it's been a while. So he was going home. And he had a lot of money in his bag. How are you going to do? That day, he left Onitsha by 9 p.m. We're serving the north. He took a vehicle, came, landed on Onitsha. He got a Lagos vehicle in Onitsha by 9 p.m. A car, all right? A wagon. And he went to Lagos. He said something. He said once he entered the island, that nobody can take his money. He said, Lekoi. That's how he would tell you. That for this Lagos. Now, and the rest of us were afraid of Lagos Island. He said nothing. He got there around there, maybe like 1, 2 a.m. He just put his cash on his back. And he told us, he wasn't walking home. He said, the Lagos Island, nobody, that is... There's nothing, nobody born you rich like that. You come and collect his money. Now, that's not the gist. Was that guy was afraid of furniture. No, that's what I'm telling you. No, that's what the gist is about. A man who grew up in Isaleko and could carry cash at 2 a.m. and he was saying that nobody can dare it. The same guy, I was advising him on how to navigate furniture. The guy, yeah. He was like, what do I do? I told you the principalities are different. You understand? It was not his, all the while. So you can just imagine. He's had all kinds of stories, so he just felt that that place was more terrible than Isaleko. How is that possible? Now, I just wanted to explain some things in context for those who don't understand, all right? So to cross to Onitsha, you not tell a man like that, maybe it's me now as an example, and God says, Banky, go to Enugu. I won't hear it. That's where I'm going. I won't hear it. What I will hear is, Banky, go towards the east. What God said in heaven is go to Enugu. But that will require me to cross that Niger Bridge, pass this on each other, my Saleku brother was afraid of, and go further inland, how will I hear it? No. An average person cannot, that's the word, cannot hear it. But they will hear the voice of God that says, go towards the east. So they will get up and start going. And then they will get to Benin. Now, for those who don't know, Benin is the first major city you meet on the way. It's like halfway between Lagos and Onitsha. All right? And so between Lagos and Enugu. All right? Yes, like halfway. Onitsha is not like halfway between. I'm just trying to explain for those listening in Australia. All right? Onitsha is halfway between Benin and Enugu. And we're heading towards the Enugu, which is towards the east. That's what you will hear. You will get to Benin. It's not too far from this, your Lagos. Let me be quick about it. Then after some time, your spirit will become unsettled. You will move again. You might move and get to Asaba and wait, because that one at least you won't cross the bridge. Then after being in Asaba for a while, something will make you go to Onitsha and come back. The market is there. One of the biggest markets around. You go and you buy something. After a while, you now realize that nothing bad will happen to you there. Then one night you will be praying and the Lord will say, go to Enugu. You not tell your wife, ha, the Lord said we should go to Enugu. The Lord never said it that day. He said it like 4 years ago. But it took you that amount of time to be able to hear it. What was it doing otherwise? Breaking down your fears, your strongholds. These are just illustrate, okay? There are many things. So finally, you now hear, and I say, the Lord said to me, God said, you just tap me, thank you, don't mind him. I told him this thing 4 years ago. But what did he hear? He heard towards the east. I didn't say towards the east. But at least his spirit picked up something. Why didn't he hear the full thing? He could not. That's why I say to people, hearing from God is what? Overrated. Not because God doesn't speak and does not guide people, but the ability to hear it is where the limitation is. The ability to hear it is where, you know, the mistakes come up. So when you tell me you heard from God, I'm usually careful that, are you sure you heard everything he had to say? Or you are reporting to me what you could hear. Or you are reporting to us and to yourself, of course, what you could hear. What am I trying to emphasize? If you say hearing from God is overrated, then what is the main thing? The main thing is, how prepared is the heart? How prepared is the heart? For example, you want to pray, hey, God, who should I marry? God says, hey, I can't discuss that with you now. Why? The last time we had a discussion, you still said, I'm an Igbo man first because I'm a Christian. How would I talk to you? You are amongst your friends. You made that statement. You didn't realize you said it. These are things I've heard people say. I'm not making them up. Because I will never tell you can marry, you can't marry, until that thing is reversed. Until you say boldly, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Until you say boldly, that next one will know no man after the flesh. Until you can say with confidence, that listen, once we are redeemed, we are of the same tribe. Now, we're not talking wife or husband, though. We're just talking life. And you make such statements. Then you can pray and be able to hear what God is saying. Lord, which country should I live in? God says, see, I can't have that conversation with you. When you are still so ignorant of the blessing I've given you where you are. Because of my family yesterday, I was talking to them with a... This guy is a specialist. And something led to it. And I said, do you know the second most miserable country to live in on the earth? He said, done by who? I told him those who did the International Academy of Science, Psychiatrists and all of that, not Nigerians. He said, which one? I said, the rated UK. He said, was Nigeria number one? That was the answer he gave me. He said, UK. He said, okay, that means Nigeria was number one. I said, no, Nigeria was not even in the top five or top ten. He was like, hey, who did that? Who did the study? Who did the study? Argument to. I said, well, I heard it reported on BBC by the American Surgeon General. Ah, he couldn't wrap his head around it. That as far as he was concerned, Nigeria must be the worst place. This is a man who drove his car to my house at night and stayed till 10 p.m. and we're talking. Go and drive in Sudan at 10 p.m. Who owned the house he lives in? And we're talking about cars. And I said, so which car did you come with? He told me. I said, which other car do you, my other car? Such a person comes to God and says, which country should I live in? God says, I can't talk to you. I have to go and give you, I'll give you a course. I do that when I'm counseling people, all right? I learned it from God. Lord say, no. I'm not as bad as Apostle Okemute. That one is worse. This one is even borders on wickedness. If you come to him for counseling, say, let's see in 6 months. Between now and then, I must see in Bible study twice a week. At the end of 6 months, we'll talk again. You know, if I look at it, do you realize I have a problem? He will look at it, do you realize I have a solution? 6 months. I know what? Most times, within the first 2-3 months, they don't want to talk to him again. Why? They've gotten the answer. There's nobody that can counsel you like the word of God. Please stop giving people advice. Give them the word. Your advice doesn't have life. One day some women were in my house, gathered with my wife, they were talking. And they were talking, the way these girls behave. They don't understand. They were talking. My wife was looking at them. After a while, she said, how do you expect them to behave well when nobody's giving them the word? Then they all went silent. They never heard it before. My wife said, no, now. It's the word of God that shapes people, that counsels them, that redirects their steps. You're angry with people who are not hearing the word. If it was you, how would you behave? That day I was looking at my wife, I was really very sorry for her. Do you know why? I realized that she didn't even realize that what she thought was common sense was not common. The other two, they just kept quiet. The discussion ended. They couldn't relate with what she was. Because she was like, what are you people talking about? These girls you're talking about, which church did they go to? Who preaches to them? Where is the Spirit of God being communicated into their lives? You've not told me that, and you're here and getting angry with them and talking about advice. And she said to them that good, in fact, she wrote it that time, say, good advice does not change people. It's the word of God that transforms people. The power to take the word, to take advice. Where do you think it comes from? Stop giving people advice. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So God will say, listen, I'm giving you a course. 2 years of Thanksgiving before we talk about where you should look, where you should stay. Say, Lord, what did you say? 2 years of Thanksgiving. You know, I noticed something. On our Spotify channel, at least the way Junior Israel taught me, you can see interactions. All right? You know, we podcast all our messages. The only one that's not up there yet is, of course, today's one is live. All right? If you're following us live on radio or on YouTube, you can watch live on YouTube. So just last 1 week, that's not there. Anything beyond, before that last Saturday, it's already up. All right? And I noticed something. The one we preached on October 1. No, we're talking about guarding your land. The one we preached on October 1. The title I gave it is Thanksgiving on National Day. You can see the number of views or number of people who have listened to it. That one has less than 1/3 of all the other ones. That's everybody just jumps it. 2/3 of the people that listen to us, they jump it. I saw it last night. I said, what? Because the caption was Thanksgiving on National Day. It had less than 1/3. The ones that came after it had 3 times the amount of views or listens, yes. The ones that came after it. And the same people want to God to speak to them. God said, I can't talk yet. When you jumped a teaching on, and many of you were here that day, I still remember, as we're giving thanks, people were almost, that is like, what? How could I have made? I could see it on your faces. Yeah, those were not there live. They just look at it, thank you on National Day. Now, beg, let's preach something else, Joe. And these are the people who are saying, God, speak to me. Which country should I live in? Because, see, and for some people, that's the instruction from heaven. Don't think I'm just preaching. I'm telling you what the Spirit is saying to you. Said, this is 2024. I will not have any discussion with you till 2026. Anything, you know, I told you last time, some of you go and fast. And in the heat of your hunger, God will speak to you. I told you, tell the Lord, I'm coming. Let me go and eat. I told you, an angel will come to you and say, I've been sent. Just wait. Say, what are you, angel of light? They say, I know your type. You can disguise. I'm coming. Let me go and eat so my eyes will be clear. In the same way I'm telling you now, you that heard this word, you know it's your own. Because anything you hear between now and 2026 is a lie. When it comes to direct instruction, you will have 2 years of gratitude, 2 years of speaking good, 2 years of being happy, 2 years of joy before I talk. And you will have no idea what I'm going to say to you or where I'm going to lead you. Now, I finished what the Spirit is saying. Let me now continue what the Spirit is saying in preaching. All right? What I was preaching earlier. Do you know what? If you do that for... Now, this is not the prophetic word. This is just normal teaching. Do you know many times if you do that for 2 years, at the end of 2 years, you won't even come back. You won't even be interested in what the Lord is saying. Especially. If he now decides to disrupt your equilibrium, like, Lord, why are you... Do you get my point? That eagerness, what are you saying? It will have gone away from you. Because you spent two... Hey, listen, people. That 2 years will not be cut short. So don't go and say that, let me increase the thanksgiving so I can become 6 months. It is 2 years of... Why? Because the last how many years, all you have done is grumble. I've warned about grumbling again and again. You cannot hear the Spirit clearly with a heart that's not joyful and grateful. You want to go to the well of salvation and draw water. With what? You want with grumbling? No, it has to be what? With joy. It has to be with joy. It has to be with joy. You cannot use any other thing to draw. Nothing else. A lot of people. I see them occasionally. No, I was telling my wife this morning. I said, no, last night. I said, sweetheart. I said, now, wow. Because I'm surrounded most times by Christians. Of course, my family, Christians. And a lot of time people who study the word of God too. I don't realize, if it was that conversation I had with that fellow that I was telling you about, that made me for the first time realize how some people were reasoning. My son asked me that one of his friends said that, or maybe one of his classmates, somebody, that Nigeria is the closest place to hell to live in. Thank you. What does he know? What does he know? No, there are things you say in my hearing. I'll just say to God, since this is the closest to hell, right? Please, Lord, send him farther away from hell. You can pass through Sudan. Yes. Oh, Haiti, thank you. Oh, no, let's go to Haiti. Haiti is good. Since where you are is the closest, Haiti must be farther away. So go to, please, if you are in Haiti, God bless you. We are praying for you. In fact, this is a prayer for you, okay? May the Lord grant you peace. Haiti had to import policemen from Kenya. I'll be surprised if Nigerian policemen are not even there now, trying to help them maintain peace. Please, if you notice, I've deliberately jumped Gaza, Lebanon. I've jumped all those places. I just mentioned a few peaceful places like Sudan. I say Sudan because you don't know what's going on there. I didn't mention Ukraine. Let's even leave those places that are not at war. I didn't even mention North Korea. Some of you, God should send you to North Korea. And you shouldn't come back. No matter how much you repent, you'll be an evangelist there. Listen, people of God, until... there are people God cannot talk to, I've told you, until they take a 2-year course on gratitude, 2-year course on being grateful, 2-year course on thanksgiving and singing. You start singing hymns. Until then, your heart. That's why I said, look, this one, I prayed. One of the greatest jokes I've heard about hearing God, there are a number of them. One of our brothers called one sister one day. She reported to me. He said, you're sitting in that country. Your friend has heard God now, has moved to North America. Your other friend has heard God, has moved to UK. You two better go and hear God do and move. You're not laughing. You don't find it funny. I found it funny. Okay, some of you are angry. That's mockery of hearing God. What does it mean? Until you do what we think, you have not heard God. Which means, eventually, all the people that heard God didn't hear nothing. And I hear some of them. I said, leave that, you didn't hear God. You wanted to go. God had to say, you are Balaam. Brother Balaam, Sister Balaam, I'm talking to you. You didn't hear God. You heard the spirit of Balaam. The spirit that was determined to do what he wanted to do. So a voice that sounded like that of God had to say, go. I pray for you that the angel that waited for Balaam on the way is not waiting for you. You didn't hear God. Stop lying. The second one is one brother. He was an assistant pastor in a church. For certain reasons, their senior pastor left and some things, I don't know the details, but so things were not okay for them, some of the junior people. One of them left one day and immediately a big door opened for him. Big money came, you know, like now, you know, maybe didn't okay. It's an assistant pastor with Dami now. And then, as soon as Jim Woki leaves, Somebody dashes him 10 million. He says, I see the grace of God in your life. So as soon as he starts, he has a venue better than that. He don't order equipment. Good sound, everything. The guy went to his friend. He said, oh boy, see what's going on. The other assistant pastor. He said, go and pray. Let God talk to you. Did you catch that? Go and pray. Let God talk to you. Basically, we made up our mind what he has to say. So we are good. And the people will go 5 days fasting. Kalabo shahaya bote kasuso. They groan for a week. At the end of the day, they will hear what they determined before they came to pray. So what are you praying about? Look, if you want to marry the man, marry him. Why are you saying I'm praying? I don't believe in those things. A man you want to marry, say you're still praying. I'm not saying praying is bad, but okay, you've made up your mind. Why are you fooling God? You want to rope him into the decision. Somebody, you've made up your mind you want to marry. You now want to rope God in. So that you can tell us later, I fasted for 5 days before I said yes. Okay? Just by the way, somewhere aside, right? If you want to marry a man, you've been waiting for him to propose. The day he proposes, don't say, I want to go and pray. That would be a lie. Why are you lying? You have prayed before. Be honest. There's no day they say, I want to go and pray. They come and say, Angie, I've been thinking, you know, can I see you? And I said, you know why he's seeing you? They're like, yeah, they're chopping ice cream. Just said, there's something I wanted to tell you. I wanted to ask you, actually. After I thought about it, the way life is going, I have a vision, and God said that just wait for him to finish deceiving himself with his spirituality. There's no problem. Hey, guys, the easiest way to say that, Angie, let me not lie to you. Every night when I'm sleeping, now you had to think of. That's the easiest and most straightforward way to do this thing. Don't stop trying to fool us. There's no need. Anyway, by the time the guy finally finishes, so what do you say? Okay, you don't want to appear as if you were waiting, but you were waiting. If you are not sure, I'm not saying you should be sure by force. If you are not sure, it's different. But when you are sure, be nice and say, ha, John. Now, what for yourself? So you want this girl to die first before you ask this question? Let me not lie to you. My answer is yes. But I can't say it like that. I know you won't say it like that. I just told how you should say it if you can. But one thing I forbid you from saying, let me go and pray. That one is a lie. You can tell him I will answer you tomorrow. He said, if you answer me, if you appear as if you are eager. Are you not eager? What's wrong with you? See, you are going to marry him. So, it's the two of you. Do you follow me? There's one thing I always say to my wife. I say, see, there's no competition inside this house. If I win, we won. If you win, we won. I'm not going to go outside and I say, hey, okay, do you know what happened? Me and my heart, the contest, wrestling. I'm wrestling. I won. You know, he will smile and say, hey, thank you, sir. In his mind, this pastor don't decrease. I can't come out and be bragging on how I won. You know, I won. If I win, we won. So I tell him, so there's no hiding. If you want to marry the man, marry him. There's nothing like he would think I wanted to marry him. Are you not marrying him? What he thinks doesn't matter. And truly, one day you'll see, find out. You will gist into it now. You will gist into it now. One day you'll not tell him and say, Kai, John, you almost killed me. 3 months I was waiting for, he didn't see anything. One day I went to pray that God let him die by fire if he doesn't ask him by next week. It's true that there's no. Occasionally I tell my wife, I say, ha! I remember my wife all the time. I say, I can never forget the first day I saw you. I still remember the skirt and the blouse. I remember. I can't forget. Yes, 26 actually. Yeah, because I saw her a year and a half before we got married. If I see that blouse now, I'll recognize it. that skirt, I would recognize it. It was a kind of like Christ kind of skirt, touching the ground. I remember. What are you saying? Look, I'm telling something that when I finished, I ran to go and see a friend of mine. Who, no, my friend Chooks. Just not finished talking, just finished talking. I ran. Chooks, Chooks, come. So he came, what happened? I said, Chooks, you need to see this. He said, who? I said, there's one sister I met just now. Come. He started looking for her everywhere. She don't disappear. I said, okay, evening, because was at our convention. I said, evening. So evening, instead of us to go and be meditating and praying like everybody else, we entered the hall, we're walking up and down. We're walking up and down the hall. We're walking up and down the hall like. So he didn't know who. So he was just following me. We're walking up and down. Walk down the hall. Nothing. I reached the front. Then I took the other eye. I started coming back. Then suddenly, you know why we didn't see her? You know, meeting was about to start. So people were in the spirit. She was one of those in the spirit. I don't know what they were doing there, but they were there. So her head was bowed down. I was praying before the meeting would start. So I just said, Chooks. Okay, you know, don't forget, we are senior brethren. We are the. If I preached that first day, I told you so. So I was just walking down like that. Chooks. So he followed my head, looked. You know what he did? He looked at her. No, he just slowed down, look, and did like this. He gave me a thumbs up. That was 1998. Yes, around May 1, 1998. I remember. So one day you will gist the gist. The Lord is good. Let me summarize everything, please. I know where I began this from. When we are making decisions, God weighs all those things. He does. And please, by your value system, yes, by the decisions you make, your considerations, you show him what matters to you. And those are the things that actually decide for you how he answers your prayers later. Many people are praying against things that they brought upon themselves by the value system they displayed before God. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. God cannot use your elders and your friends to raise critical issues concerning spirituality, and you wave it aside. And when the consequences come later, you make it look like God is not helping you. And God said, listen, go and read Proverbs. You know, people don't like that side of God. He said, I called, he did not answer. He said, now, why should I answer you now that you are calling? I raised these objections to you again and again. No, remember, Andrew asked you about it. Kunle asked you about it. Raphael came and asked you about it. And you made it look like it didn't matter. I remember one day, there was one of our brothers, he had a serious problem in marriage. Horrible problem. The kind of thing that if I told you, your ears will block. Like a Christian did that. So one day I was now talking with some people, you know. Just talking. It's been a while. So, you know, I now traveled, I went somewhere. Met some people, you know, old brethren, a couple. So just talking, say, you know, just catching up on people, you know. How's so and so person? Oh, he's now in Kaduna. Yes, you know, he works in maybe in Nigeria Defense Academy. You know, just talking about different people, schoolmates and all of that. And I said, oh, how's this brother? And I said, he's fine. How is his wife? I said, man, I've not seen him, but man, the story where I hear, you're awful. And I remember that sister got up and said, let's assume the guy's name is Wale. Thank you. Is it Wahid? You say Wale. Wahid. He just said, but they want Wahid. But we want, he said, but I couldn't talk because he was senior to me, but I was there. He was warned. Now, they did not warn him about the woman he married. That's not what she was talking about. They warned him about his prayer point. The warning was not don't marry this girl, even though that was part of it. But the warning was, Abba, how can you be praying like this? It's like, let us pray. Let us pray. That God will send him a wife. I want you to ask an example. I wasn't there just to give an illustration. and that her eyebrows must match. Now, that doesn't have any meaning. I just invented that, okay? I want her hair to be like an Indian girl's hair. No, do you get my point? So those who are supposed to pray, they are like, excuse me, pause. What has Indian girl's hair got to do with your call to ministry and your destiny? And are fulfilling the assignment of God in her life? What pained the lady talking? Eh? The lady talking to with me, all right? My friends were, anyway, both of them were my friends. Was that everything he asked for, he got. Every single thing. She was not telling me. So he asked for this, he got it. He asked for this, he got it. He asked for this, he got it. She said, he said, look, he gave them to me now. He gave those things to me. She told me. She said, look, he asked for this, he got it. So she got up and said, what they want? He said, they. Because she said, no. There were people who did the warning, but I was there. See, it is when you settle down, those things you choose, that they are the criteria in your heart, even for your prayer points that matter. That's why I said, when I began to speak, I said, look, how can you settle down? You want to choose a path for your children. Let me say the way it is. How can you be looking for money in Nigeria of today to tell me that Nasu is on strike right now? They're threatening strike, but Nasu is on strike. How can I send my children to that kind of school? I don't have a problem with that. Even me, if I had my way, I wouldn't send my children to a school where they go on strike. Am I a glutton for punishment? Small aside, just to make you laugh. When my children were about to enter school, you know, some of them, they're in school now. I talked to one of my senior colleagues. So, and I told me something that, look, when I told him some options I have, he said, do you have money from a place I don't know about? That's what the old man told me. He said, do you have money from somewhere that I'm not aware? I said, not exactly, sir. How old are your children? I told him. He said, they are young. What's the hurry? I said, let them settle down. We'll take care of them. That's what he told me. I came back to my wife. I said, I take it as a word from God. This man is a reverend gentleman. He said, what's all of this? There was one option I had. He said, look. And this is within Nigeria. He said, they started telling me stories about somebody he tried to caution who didn't listen. He said, now I'm trying to get the child back to this school. He said, because they upped the school fees from 5 million a year to 8 million without any notice, and you have to pay. He said, the guy suddenly woke up to reality. Please, this is just in my mind. People tell me that the people go on strike. When you finish striking, what will happen? No, I give my younger brother's testimony, all right? He has a beautiful testimony in that regard. He didn't have that problem. So things were not really that bad those days. Well, they were. I suffered strike, but not from ASU, but from riots. Babangida's days, 89. So Nigerians had these issues up and down. But my younger brother suffered the inefficiency of some of our systems. He graduated, and the school said they have not yet verified his WAEC result. He was the best graduating student in his class. They had not verified his WAEC result. That cost him 2 years waiting for NYSC. I'm not kidding. We tried everything. Okay, can we go and do the verification ourselves? No. They have to do it themselves. Your intervention is not allowed. 2 good years, they kept him marking time, waiting for NYSC color, because the school, now, which I think is wickedness, where things work out, listen, people will sue you badly. Why didn't you verify it in the first year? You allowed me engineering 5 years. Pressure, people work up and down. Try to explain to them. Please, can we, okay, what do we need to do? Okay, let's use Korea. We will pay. They don't know schools, they have their own system. First year passed. Call up the next year, his name didn't show up again. Why? We have not yet finished verification. You know, and decided to be angry and angry. It was, it's the kind of thing that, you know why they don't allow us to carry guns in Nigeria? Because if they did. Seriously. Why am I telling this story? So I was 22, but So he came to Enugu, stayed with me here. All right, just to stay around in Enugu. Because there was nothing else he could do. After a while, we know one of his lecturers had a job. He called him to come and join him to work. He'd go to Abuja, go to Lagos, waiting for NYSC. I'll make the long story short. Took some time on it. When they finally did their verification and his name was sent to NYSC for this thing, they called him up. He went and did NYSC, finished NYSC, and then he got a job, one of the telecom companies, you know. In fact, he did very well in the interview because one of my friends was even there at that time. When they published names, his name didn't come up for the employment. So he called me. So I called my guy and said, what's going on? He was not in Enugu. He said, we'll let him find out. So he now found out that the man who headed the interview, all right, took his name aside because he wanted to post him to where he was. He liked him. So when they did the normal publishing, he yanked the name off. Said, if I put it there now, somebody else will say, come to this department. So I told him, I said, calm down. They said, it's not a problem at all. So finally, they posted him here. And let's make a long story short. Do you know, the 2 years he lost, God compensated it that next year. One day he came to my room, just talked to me, just you know, how God had been nice. Place where he was in the Airtel, his boss recommended him for promotion. They promoted him before they realized that he was not yet up to a year in the company. Ah, then I said, sorry, you can't be promoted yet. You're not up to 1 year in the company. So the guy left the promotion letter on his table. The day he hit a year, he dated it, stamped it, and gave it to him. It was not an embarrassment because there were people he met there that he was now promoted above. That's where I'm going. You know, in that short time, God compensated for the 2 years. Time, I was listening to Derek Prince the other day. He said, time is mysterious. He said, sometimes he sees geology, say that this thing happened a million years ago. He said he smiles. And I also understand, God has given me that understanding also because I've followed quantum physics. I've followed physics, astronomy, and all of that for some time. So I could understand when he was saying it. He said, when he said it happened over the last 10, 50 million years, he said he just smiles. He said there was nobody around. That could have happened a year. And it would look like 10 million. It would have happened in 10 million, it would look like 5 days. He said, time is that mysterious. And if you understand, when there's nobody around, time counts differently. People may know that's very deep what I've said, but physicists understand it now. Time is very mysterious. You can think you have wasted 10 years. Then the 11th year, you realize that you have been running for the last 20 years and every day has counted. In the 11th year, you see you have made 20 years progress. The year before, it will be like if you're in one spot for 10 years. In the 11th year, it will be as if you have been making progress persistently for 20 years. Time is very mysterious. It's in God's hands. Time is in his hands. So don't let hurry push into anything. Don't let hurry push you into anything. No. Time is in his hands. Like somebody said, you know how many children Penina had? I don't know. When Samuel came, he's the one we're talking about it today. Samuel became what one man told us those days. Became 10 sons. 10 sons. The boy started hearing, God started having conversations with him as a little child. The whole of Israel knew that God was with this boy. They knew. Before that time, he said, the word of the Lord was cursed in those days. Then when Samuel came on the scene, the word of the Lord became common. All you needed to do was talk to Samuel. You heard God. Eli was on the throne when the word of the Lord was cursed. As a judge in Israel, the high priest. Hophni and Phinehas were ministers in the temple. The word of the Lord was cursed in the tabernacle. And the word was still scarce. And the little boy came on the scene. And once you spoke with him, you knew you had spoken to God. A time came, everybody had a problem. They said, let's go and see the prophet. They even lost donkeys. They said, let's go and see the seer. He will tell us where the donkeys are. Not even a serious matter. But that's how serious the anointing of God on Samuel's life was. You want to go and tell Hannah now that you had delay. God had turned everything around. Time is mysterious. The reference uses those words. What I've learned about it, the way God uses the time, everybody on this line now, the world will be counting 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, 10 weeks, months, years, the same time for you. But God is counting for this person a different frequency of time. On the surface, it looks like the same thing. But God is dealing with everybody on this road differently, time-wise. The foolish thing you would do is to be checking your, using the next person's time to check your own. That person gets up and is going away. Say, me too, I can't keep on staying here. My mates have gone. So I'm supposed to be here for 4 years. He has now left. God said he left after 4 years. You are still in 2 years. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You think, no, God said, no, you too, you will leave after 4 years. Say, but he has left now. He said, no, his own 4 years and your own 4 years are not the same thing, no. And then he that even left, do you know why he left? He got tired. He was supposed to be here. I was supposed to be there with him for 6 years. In the fourth year, he looked at the next guy next door and left. So God said, no, don't look at the next person. When I see parents make decisions about children, this is it. I'm just alarmed. I just look and say, eh? You know, I said, Ed Cole said, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there's no God. It's living like there's none. Do you trust God? You don't. It reflects in how you make decisions. Like I said, children are supposed to be built up. I'm not even telling you do this or don't do that. If you notice, I've not said that. I said, just the things you are weighing. Like one of my brothers said to us, now listen, he went to the U.S. to do a course in a top university, not a common one. He was married, had children when he went to school. He said, yet the pressure they put him under, he said, sir, how is a 17-year-old supposed to stand under this? At that time, he was in his late 30s, having been married for years, had experience in life. He said, yet the pressure they put me under, this is not a common university, top-level university. He said they have parties regularly. You understand? Oh, you know what I mean by parties? Real, wild parties. They go drinking, womanize, and all of that. Some of them smoke weed, for sure. Then he chooses to stay in his room and do his work. Maybe call people in Nigeria, do his personal work, and all of that. Yeah, they are checking on him whether he has a mental problem. No, you're not getting my point. They had to check whether he was suicidal. The only thing he did wrong was that they go for parties, he doesn't go. They say he's reclusive. He's secluded. He's isolated. Because you rascals are sinning against God and I want to walk in righteousness. Because maybe because he comes to the campus, they see him, doesn't pick any of the girls around. Because I have a wife in Nigeria, are you people crazy? I'm a married man. I have sworn to faithfulness before God. What is wrong with all of you? So he said to me, he said, sir, if at this age they can put me under this kind of pressure, say, what do they do to younger people? He said, how do you drop a 16-year-old for these people without parental guidance? Am I trying to do this or not do that? No. I'm just saying, consider all these things. Show to God what matters to you. That's all we are saying. Don't relocate from one city to another because the power here is constant, but you've not checked whether the Christian fellowship is constant. Value some things. Many Christians don't place any value. There's something, you know, because my wife has always done this kind of one business or the other and all of that. Many times I've had to sit her down to explain some things to her. I said, sweetheart, it is not everything that is money. What I mean by money now, when you are checking your cost, it's not everything that you can weigh in naira and kobo. I said, please, you have to value your headache. That's something you have to start doing. So sometimes you say, look, we can get this thing done for 100,000, but if we do this way, it'll be 120. So I ask her, what's the headache value? We calculate it. You see how pay the one that's 120. Not the one that's 100,000. Why? Because we have reason that said the headache value is 25,000. So this is actually cheaper. If you went that way, that would be 125. But you can only see the naira, physically speaking. You need spiritual insight to put the other 25. It's only those of us that God has spoken to that can see it. You get my point? Yeah, it's in the scripture. It said, by faith we understand. So faith has helped us to understand. A lot of people are taking jobs that's actually paying them less, they don't do. Yeah, they're doing it every day. The job pays less. Yes, it's easy to calculate things like house rent, transportation, but there are other things that you can't calculate like that. I like when I read the story of the former Alan Greenspan, former CBN governor of America. We call it CBN governor in Nigeria. They call him chairman of Federal Reserve. Alan Greenspan, I read his story once, and it was interesting. He had a job offer, two job offers. As a young man, he wanted to work. He had a job. I can't remember their salary, but let me just give it as an example to make it easy. Let's assume one was $100 a week of those days. They pay weekly in America. And the other one was like $80. He said, I took the one that's $80. I can't remember the figure. I'm just giving money just for making it easy to him. He said, I took the one for $80. Why? He said, I realized I would learn more. He said, after weighing everything, he saw the kind of work. He said, here, I will learn more. Here, the salary is quite better. I will live more comfortably, but I will learn less. So he took a lower paying job so he could learn more. And eventually, he became the chairman of United States Federal Reserve Bank. Is that what they call them? Let me not go and say something that's not right. Yeah. And that's why I was one of those people that was quite well known. Most CBN governors at that time, they've not been that, their own Federal Reserve chairman, they've not been that, which word do I use now? Visible. Not just outspoken. You know, there are people that you just, their presence is just quite, there's some notoriety to them. You know, that kind of thing. But so, Alan Greenspan was quite all over the place in his own time. Long after he left, people would still be interviewing him. But he said, I chose a lower paying job because I've checked that I'm going to learn more on that side. But most young people, no. They just get up. Where's the money? Who pays more cash? So I had to sit down with my wife over the years and say, no. When you are valuing things, you have to value the head, I call it the headache value. Most people don't know how to put it, how to value appropriately. Then I even explained something to my wife. I said, somebody's helping you do it does not mean it's free. It's costing the person something. I said to her, I said, somebody is picking your bills, so bear that in mind. You may say, okay, if I send this thing here, the shipper said they will collect 200,000 naira. But if I send it to this other side, I'm going to pay only 140. So how will they get here from here to there? Okay, this guy will pick it for me, he will now send it. I said, have you valued his time and effort and everything? I said, because he's not charging you. I said, do you realize what you are doing? You are transferring your troubles to somebody else. You are now saving money by making him spend headache. So she revalued it. And don't forget something that they say. That favor is like a bank account. The more you use it, the less you have. Some people use your favor for everything. Because you know commissioner of police. You and MOT have quarrel. You call the commissioner. What is wrong with you? Pay the MOT. Go and pay their fine, even if they are wrong. How much do they charge? Is it between 10 and 30K? I don't know how much it is. Hey, just look at it. Pay no. This commissioner of police, let me wait till I shoot somebody before I use his. I'm joking about that, but you get my point. Because you know the vice chancellor, a lecturer sends your child out of class, you call the VC. No, some people they don't know that some things are wrong. You're boiling. How can he send my son out of class? Because you know the VC, you don't understand value. When you see the VC, greet him. Oh boy, how are you doing? My son is in your school. Oh, is he? Just greet him and leave it like that. So the other day, the lecturer actually sent him out. Why? And you expect him to call the lecturer and discipline him? One day they put me in charge of a committee. The teaching hospital here. When I saw the terms of the committee, I looked and said, you people are really not serious. But I couldn't tell them. Woman reported that he was insulted by a junior member of staff. And I reported and said their union should do something about it. Because they didn't know what to do. So they now formed a committee to investigate the matter and put me there as chairman. I collected their paper, put it in my drawer and closed the drawer there. After some time, I said, chief, I've not seen your report. About what? All of you are not serious. You take my valuable time because one man felt insulted? You're not serious at all. He had better go and pour water on his ego. Why don't you leave it until important issues are up? By the time you call the VC because they sent your child, call your child and say, what happened? The man said I came late and I was only 1 minute late. He said, next time I go 5 minutes early. Did the matter there? I don't think he likes me. What does it matter? You'll be in his class for 1 year. What's all of this noise? Don't misuse your, what do they call that thing? Your social capital. Don't misuse it. No, reserve it for important things. You're arguing with MOTV. You are coming the Commissioner for Justice. What is wrong with you? Let them be right, even though you know they are wrong. Pay the fine and walk away. The call is worth more than that 10,000 fine you just paid. Like I always say to preachers, if you know politicians, don't go to the office to go and be using style to tirogo. You know what they call tirogo? And the tirogo was a word we used in secondary school 40 years ago, so many of you will not know it. All right. You go to a politician's office, I mean, when you go there, I've told you, even if it's a governor, enter the place, he say, peace be upon this office. I feel like blessing you this morning. Pronounce blessings there and go away. Leave it like that. I may not get anything. They will be in office for 4 years. What are you? Why should you get anything? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So when you are valuing things, this is what I'm trying to say. Learn to value some things that God will know. And I'm not telling you do this or don't do that. Have you noticed that? I'm just saying when you are valuing and moving from one city to another, check other things. Check your relationships. Check friends. Who are you living? Where are you going to? For what purpose? You're sending a child to school. He's 16. For goodness sake. Say, because God now gave you money. Some of you, that's one that even pains me. You know, I keep on saying it. The ones that don't even have. Let me tell you something. If you have to sell something for a child to go abroad, you can't afford it. Let me say it straight. You know, we need to help people. Those who send children to school abroad, they know they sell anything unless their head is not normal. I've seen people do it again and again. You know, one guy just get up, say he won't go to school. I remember when my brother-in-law said he was going to school abroad. He wanted to go to master's. The boy don't hustle. He don't go. He said, let him go back to school. I was there when he was telling his father, clinical. And he was, you know, I said, somebody will now copy this boy now. I said, I won't work again. I'm going to school. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When he finished, his mother was even laughing later that he just defrauded his father of some money. Maybe school is supposed to be 16,000. He says 20. So the guy don't factor in job. I was there when the man gave him the money. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So when I say, they say, I have Corolla for sale, who wants to buy? Because your child wants to go to school. Carry that girl's car to church and give an offering. This year now you sell your car. What will you say next time? Next year you sell your house. The next, your child is going to get a BSc. Now you are indebted to First Bank. Meanwhile, this same boy will get a BSc free of charge in Covenant University. He said it's not free. I know why I said it's free. Landmark University, Bishop Oyedepo gave anybody that would do anything related to agriculture free tuition for 4 years. Yeah, was it last year or 2 years ago? When I say any agricultural engineering, agricultural economics, fishery, anything, once it's related to the land, the man said, you are not paying tuition. Just bring enough money to eat. You see such opportunities and you want to go and sell your ancestral inheritance. You know, some people are so funny. They just believe that you will pay back. You don't know anything. I've seen people again and again. Daddy, I want to go to school where? If I mention one place, the father said, how much? He said, the man will open a drawer, count $50,000. Give the boy. If you can't do that, don't bother. Go to the one you can do. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. How many times do I need to say this to parents? I see a lot of foolishness around. See, at least 1/3 of my classmates are in the United States of America. And that 1/3 are in UK. Somewhere in Europe. And they are lecturers. They own businesses. They head organizations. They do stuff like that. With the degree they got down here with me. That's where I'm going. We all sat in the same class. If you say, bring your certificates, we all have the same. And it's like that till now. I don't think it has changed. It's whether your son wants to learn or he doesn't want to learn. That is the difference.
The one that amazes me, people who just throw their children to a disadvantage. I say, well, okay, you want him to go abroad, fine. I don't have a problem with it. Why don't you let him go on a strong footing? American scholar, he has a college degree. Let him read well. And then when he gets there, he's instantly, turned the guy to gutter sweeper, you know, dead body washer, all kinds of things, poo-poo packer. I don't have a problem with those jobs if you would do them at home. If you couldn't do them at home, why are you doing it there? Please, value things. That's what I'm going to say. We've not gone back to our message for today. Maybe we'll leave it in next time. Please, I hope you have direction.
Yes, sir.
I mean, based on what I've said.
Yes, sir.
I hope many people have direction now.
Yes,
please, let me repeat it again, like the 10th time. Remember, I've not said do this or don't do that. I've just said, show to the Lord what matters to you. Then you'll be able to make the right decisions. Then he'll be able to lead you aright. And I'm saying, this last time I'm repeating it for now, as a Christian, ascribe the proper weight to invisible things. One of the marks of Christianity is the ability to assess the invisible. I didn't say access, but to assess the invisible. Like I said, this happened twice. Two of my sisters, this happened to them. One used it negatively, that is like use it to knock a man off in marriage. But one used it to marry a man. What did she do? He said that, look, why are you marrying this man? He said, look, there's one person who can say, close your eyes, give me your hand, I want to lead you somewhere. And I will feel confident to keep my eyes closed. The wise father asked, come, I just want to. Because other men, you know, this is your friend. Why is it the one? The woman thought and said, he's one person that can say to me, close your eyes, give me your hand, I want to take you somewhere. And I will feel confident to close my eyes. She did not feel that way, you know, he has a brilliant destiny and no one day will be great. That's not the issue. She just felt that, see, if he says, close your eyes, give me your hand, I will feel confident. The other lady who said the same thing to me long before this even happened, she said the other way around. There was this guy that liked, and now, I used to listen to these people talk. I didn't know the person involved. This lady now. I used to listen to her talk. She was my very good friend of mine. You know, we lived in the same quarters, all right? Went to the same church and all of that. So she told me everything. Guy, you know, young woman now, fine woman. So guys wanted to marry. So there was one guy she used to tell me about. He told me about him. I said, so what's the problem with him? He said that, Kai, that guy, I don't trust him. I said, what do you mean? She said that if he says to me, these same words, they didn't talk to each other, the women. He said that if he says, close your eyes, I want to take you somewhere. Give me your hand. He said, Banky, let me be honest with you. I'll keep one eye open like this. That's what she said. I just said to her flat. I said, you know me, I don't give people instruction like that. Say yes. I said, this time around, I will instruct you as my sister. Do not marry him. I said, I don't want to hear that you heard the voice. I said, listen to what I'm saying. Under no circumstances will you marry this guy. I'd like to tell her other story. The guy I was making some stories of the guy who I really liked. Again, that one I never met. I really liked that guy. She used to tell me about him. I liked him. I was begging him, marry this guy now. A man I'd never met. So that day we were walking. I think we were coming from church. We were walking. And I said, what's the problem? We're like, what is your issue? This guy, sir. She said, Banky, you don't understand. What don't I understand? Said, the way I'm going like this. See the way we are. That's why I remember we were walking that day. Said, the way we are walking like this. If I tell him that I don't like where you are walking, please move out to the other side. He said, do you know he will cross over without asking questions? See? Yeah. I don't have time to tell you much about this guy. This guy is very, very, from her description, I never met him. Very intelligent, very devoted young man. At that time, the guy was about to qualify as a surgeon. Yeah. He said, the guy, smart. He said, but, he said, Banky, that thing, I can't handle it. That's why I've told you men, when you see girls that are doing strong, they try to boss you up and down, don't agree. If you agree, they won't marry you. See, I know what I'm saying. He said, Emeka, I told you to come in the morning, you didn't come. Emeka, don't go. Maybe I'm the one talking to you. Let her vex. When she finishes vex, she go cool down. One thing I've noticed about women vexing that eventually they calm down. It's men that don't look. It's men that won't agree to calm down. The women will calm down. If he says jump, he shouts how high. You're on your own. You go single for a long time. The girl ain't go mad. I know what I'm telling you. You know, I've told you now. I've seen it happen. Some of you now say that, Evanki, you don't know that a man should be what? These women want a husband, not a first son. As a Christian, learn to value things that are not tangible. That's what I'm going to say. In English language, they have what they call these nouns that are intangible. Have you? No, noun, not verbal. Noun. Concrete. Learn to value the abstract. Christians, learn to value the abstract. Enough of valuing only the things that are concrete. By faith, we understand. He said, our temporal afflictions, they are light. He called them because they are temporal. What do I mean by temporal? Physical. What he was saying, temporal, is things that have to do with this earth. That's why I call it temporal afflictions. Because when a man who has been flogged say affliction is light, some people with bad road, they say, hey. One guy told me the other day, he said, he's thinking about going to arrest. I just want to, what's the issue? He said, for example, now, roads are good. I said, you drove to my house, the road bad? I said, my friend, after you've driven good roads for about 2 years, you will not notice them again. You will now know the things that really matter in life. Paul called all these afflictions what?
Light.
Why are they light? Because they are temporal. He said they work for us what? An eternal weight of glory. Now, that's not the end of the discussion there. What's the end? Why we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's what I'm saying. Christians, learn to value the things that are not seen. Like Alan Greenspan said, I took a lower paying job because of something that had a more eternal value. I will learn. Let's read our scripture. Finally, I think I can calm down. Yeah, damn it. So where were we? As if I forgot. Psalm 45, okay. Psalm 45. Let me do something. I'll just read it, pass one or two comments, and then we'll leave it. I said that I'm trying not to keep us for too long, even though some people are like, why not? What else are we doing apart from hearing the word of God? Psalm number 45. All right, we're going to read just two verses. I want to read verses 6 and 7, Psalm 45. Now, again, like I said, I will try not to speak for long. Let me just try and bring this to a close in the next few minutes. This is what we were discussing last time. You know, last time we were talking about the fact that God, you know, we've been looking at the character of God, remember? That's the review I began, and then I had to speak what the Spirit was saying to the church this morning. Now, faith is based upon the knowledge of the kind of person that God is. I said to us, righteousness is, to me, the most important of his attributes. Love is another one. Love is the one that, for me, is most. If you say God created something, to me, love is number one of his creations that I appreciate. Love is difficult to understand. The word, Satan is like that. Satan has corrupted it to mean something else. What the world calls love is not what God calls love at all. The love of this world is pretty selfish. It's so self-centered. It's so self-centered. If a man says he loves a woman in this world, what he means, God like, what? Are we using the same words here? And they've corrupted people to be thinking wrongly. They use those words, you see here in their music, or they're, oh girl, I love you, you don't love her. Your loss is killing you. Really. Do you get my point? You don't love her. You'll be coming to tell people that you love somebody that you just want. There's a different word for that. Love is this thing you can't explain that makes you willing to cut a part of yourself off to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what love is. Love is sacrifice. Somebody you love is a person you are willing to make a sacrifice for and personally gain nothing in return. Your gain is only
the gain of satisfaction. Do you get my point? Do you catch what I mean by that? What I mean by gain now is that, all right, I have a son, I have a daughter, I have children, whatever. And then I sacrifice, even if they are not aware I'm the one that did it, as long as it turns out well for them. And that satisfies me. That is what love is. To me, it's the greatest of God's creations. So that's why because righteousness is the foundation of God's throne. It's why I rate righteousness above love. But love is deep. It's another attribute of God. So the one we're looking at last time is the fact that God has emotions. He's not a computer. He's not dispassionate about everything. And I say he loves and he hates. Don't ever forget that. He loves and he hates. And one of the things you do as a Christian is to learn what he loves and learn what he hates. And if you have learned it, make sure you love what he loves and do what? Hate what he hates. And please don't be ashamed of that word hate. What does it mean to hate something? To never want to have anything to do with it and go and be willing to go out of your way to end it if possible. That's what it means to hate. God hates some things. Last time we read about it from Proverbs chapter what now? Let me just refer to it. Just to give a short list of the things we read. It said, 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Let me tell you, when the Bible says something is an abomination to God, don't joke with it. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, it's an abomination. There are things that he tolerated. He has never tolerated an abomination. Idols are abominations. Sexual perversion is an abomination before him. Under the old order, before Christ Jesus came, he tolerated polygamy. It was not perfect. I would say he winked at it. But he has never tolerated homosexuality. He has never tolerated bestiality. In fact, he said, I wipe people out, not one person, a whole generation of persons, a whole nation. He said, these are the reasons why I wipe them out. The world wants to turn it to something else. There are things that God hates. Let me tell you how to live with things that God hates, all right? If he hates something, just learn that he hates it. Even if you feel like it. I hope you get my point. Even if your flesh would tolerate it, go out of your way to hate it. For example, if America, because they do that a lot, these Europeans and Americans, you have these organizations that try to bring some of this into the country. They come to the back door. One way by which Satan works, all right, is to infiltrate through helping. Are you getting my point? Disaster zones, out of children, out of school children, HIV infected persons, people living with AIDS, they come with a lot of help. Aid money, they call it. They hire you. See, those guys pay money. You see where I'm going? Then when they finish employing you, one of our sisters told me the story. When they intervene you, you see, it's strategic. They'll paint a picture. A young girl is pregnant. She's only 17. Her features are ahead of her. If she carries a pregnancy now, this will happen. Then she cannot go to school. This and this and that. Is it not better for them to terminate the pregnancy? And then they finish working on you. You say, it's true. So look, when you're talking about abortion, it's not because it's just for the future of the young girl. And you'll find it reasonable. Do you know why? Your starting salary is $2,000 a month. See, money is so powerful. You start thinking differently. Well, when you see money, be very careful. Money will take a man of God sleeping and say, man of God, wake up. Write a new doctrine. You are going to church this morning. When you have arranged and people are coming to church, you start seeing the power of your seed. Why? It's Thanksgiving Day. Your friends have invited all the big men in the society. You start reasoning differently. One of us started to, they did it to how? When they finish explaining, they want to show you that there's nothing wrong with a man having sex with a man. It's as they feel. And do you know, by the time they are done, one of our brethren the other day in their church, No, they are ministering. One guy came, was always helping, you know. The people are always available, always helping. There's something I just noticed about the guy. He was clean. You know when I say clean? Let me say what I mean by clean. Some of these men now, they don't iron their clothes.
Yes.
They come here now. Yes, now. They'll just come. I won't mention names. I'm looking at some of you. Some of them will be wearing knicker on the street on Tuesday morning. They won't comb their hair. Some of them are bad examples to my children. There are two of them here who I will not mention their name, even though their guilty conscience is guilting them right now and consciencing them. One of them is looking away from me as if he knows. We know we are talking to each other. Because of them, my children won't comb their hair. Because I want to talk, say, Uncle, this hair is not combed. Uncle, that. I said, can't you see my hair is combed? What did I say is combed? My hair. Did I say the one on top or the one below? See? This one is combed. Abby? But now, is it not combed? So if there's none here, why are you looking? You're the one that are looking wrongly. I said, my hair. Be no be hair. The Lord is good. But so men behave like that sometimes. You know, they just, this guy said, no, not him. Always clean. You look at his nails, well manicured. I've seen men go for manicure. I've never gone. The only manicure I've done is in my house. My wife has manicured for me before, but I'm not saying it's bad. Men go once in a while, all right? I mean, they work it once in a while here. Say, but this guy is always clean. Always. You see his clothes, always straight. There's something about him. And he could sing well. And occasionally, and he had money. Occasionally, he would travel. Then make it long story short. One day, he had a device like this. And he was working. You know, they had a program or something, helping out. Then he answered the call and did not lock the device immediately. And some people wouldn't mind their business. Thank God for their lives. Suddenly saw pictures and started to scroll. Let's make a long story short. This guy is an agent. He's into this LGBT thing. That's where he gets money from. They fund him, he infiltrates churches, and from there recruit young boys in choir. That was when they called him and said, come. Yes, we are sorry. We invaded your privacy. We saw on your device all kinds of pictures, men kissing men. From where? So they had to eject him from the ministry. Can I just beg you, some of you are too good for God's self. You don't have the ministry of rehabilitation. Don't rehabilitate, so eject them first. Tell him to get out. Don't preach to him, I'm begging you. Because he will believe. And he will repent.
Yes.
And you put him back into the fold. You use the right word. The sheepfold. Wolf. Yeah, true story. It's God that just opened. This is where I'm going with all of this. Child of God, I don't care how poor, how broke you are. Don't work for them. You know why? You have to hate what God hates. Let me tell you about persecution. Last day persecution will not start with, hey, don't say Jesus is Lord. Look, that's on the Islamic land. In most places, what they will do is go after the values that Jesus as your Lord has placed in your heart. They will say to you, and this is what they were doing. Just explain and explain. I know they pay you heavily to spread their gospel. You can't tell the truth. You can't tell a young girl, there are other ways to handle this pregnancy. There are people who will gladly adopt this child. Let's give the child to them. No, what you don't understand, they worship a God and they have to sacrifice. So that story they're telling you about helping somebody is a lie. They are giving these souls over to Satan. They'll tell you that love is love. What is love is love? No, lost is lost. Let's use the right words. They tried to trap this man. God bless him for that. What's his name? Joel Austin. They tried to trap him once. The man was trying to trap him. He said, has corrected now. He said, has been corrected. He has seen the extent of what he was getting involved in. He thinks differently now. He's not a conservative to a large extent. He was the one that day. Of course, he was doing his job as a CNN anchor. And he tried to put him, say, oh, you're married, yes. Where did you meet your wife? He did that to him and to Rick Warren. Tried to put them in a corner. You fell in love with your wife, with the young woman, then what if it was a man you fell in love with? They tried to corner him. But God gave this with too much wisdom. I like the way Joel Austin answered his own. He said, well, he said, what do you think about a man? He said, I don't think he's right, I think. So they said, who are you to judge? Joel Austin said, I don't know. If God says it is wrong, it must be wrong. See, that's the answer. See, listen, you don't need more understanding than that. Joel Austin said, well, I don't know. If the Bible says it's wrong, I guess it must be wrong. If the Bible says it's wrong, it must be wrong, really. If God says it is wrong, it must be wrong. That's the best answer. You want to quote Spock for me? You want to quote Kinsey for me? I didn't do research, I only read. I did not do research, I only did what? I read the scriptures. And it says it is wrong, it is what? It is wrong. What am I saying to you? Brethren, if God says something, I hate it. If he says he hates something, I don't care how you feel. You know what you must do? Hate it. Now, hate is not first of all, just like love is not first of all an emotion. It's secondarily an emotion. First of all, it's a decision, it's an action. If he says I hate it, that means I must stop it. If I'm the one doing it, I stop it. If it's within my powers, I stop it. And I will never promote it, and I will always promote the opposite. That's what it means to hate. It's not, when I say, you see, feeling, Charles Finney said, feeling follows thought. It comes after. The tree was there every day. It was not fine. Until they said, you will not surely die. Then the woman suddenly looked, bam, it has changed. It was now something to desire. So don't worry about how you feel. Be first concerned about how you do. Do you like my English? It's not what you feel. What you what? What you do. First of all, so it is simple. Is a man marrying a man right? I don't think so. Why don't you think so? Who are you to judge? No, I'm not the judge. It's God as a judge, and the judge gave us his word, and he says it is wrong, and he says to him, it's an abomination. Society has a law. I was talking to my wife yesterday. Something led to it. I said, oh girl, there's so much sexual immorality going on still. I said, because I hang around Christians, I don't seem to notice. You must hate. If God says I hate something, you hate it. Says seven things which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. I'm not analyzing this. Just showing us that, listen, there are things that God hates. We talked about it last time. What I'm just reminding us of concerning it is that if he hates it, you must hate it. And hating it is not a feeling thing, first. Eventually, feeling will follow. It's a decision thing, first of all. If God says it is wrong, I do everything within my powers to end it. And I will never, for any reason, participate in it, no matter how hungry I am. Let me say something to you. When God calls something an abomination, you know what it means? I don't accept excuses. There are things he just overlooks. But if he says it's an abomination, you know what it means? It is poison. How hungry will you get that I will lace bread with rat poison and utter pia pia? You say, oh boy, I'm too hungry. Let me eat it like that. I don't know whether I get my point. If I'm very hungry and you keep bread there and it's not mine, as a human being, I'm just as a human being. I can wait for the owner. Wait for the owner. If the owner doesn't come after 1 hour, I will eat it. Human beings, though. And when the owner comes, I will explain. Do you follow my point? And what's the explanation? You know I was very hungry. You know I was very hungry. One of these excuses we give, we're not persuaded. That's the issue. But let us assume, as the guy finished putting the bread, somebody came and sprinkled cyanide on it, shook it, and then wrapped it. And I saw the cyanide bottle. Do you know, even if I'm dying, you know I won't eat that bread.
Even if they want to put it in my mouth, they say, eat now, you know you are hungry. I'm not hungry again. I'm fasting. You won't open the mouth. That is how you treat abominations. You don't make excuses. You know, this thing is poisonous. And once God tells you it's an abomination, and he knows you have heard this kind of illustration I just gave now, then there is no story you want to tell him that I can understand. He said, no, now, if it was poisoned bread, will you eat it? He said, sir, you don't know, Nigeria, things can be so rough. There's sometimes there's no food to eat. He said, I know. But if they gave you poisoned bread, will you eat it? He said, no, it's not about poison. I was just, he said, you are not persuaded. And that's what I'm telling you. Be persuaded. If he calls something an abomination, please don't go near it. He hates some things. The same way he hates some things, he also loves some things. And I'm going to make this statement and close. Psalm 46, right? 45. Verses what? 6 and 7. Let's just read it and I close. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. This is a statement I want to make about that as I close. What you love and what you hate decides the grace that God pours upon you. It's not first of all what you do. It is what you love and what you hate. Time will not let me. What I intend to teach about today was the things that God loves. We'll talk about some things he hates. I wanted to talk about things that God loves. As you can see, he says, you have loved righteousness. God loves righteousness. He loves it. But let me end with that statement. Watch what you love and what you hate. That is what decides what God will pour upon you. Don't forget what I've said. Watch what you love and watch what you hate. Those are the things that decide whether God will lift you or he will bring you down. Is what you love and what you hate. Please, I want you to key it into your heart. So, please go out to go and learn. Now, go on, you can see, he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. That was a messianic psalm. He said, because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. He was not ambivalent towards wickedness. He hated it. He said, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows because of what you hate and because of what you love. That's where I'll stop today. Maybe God allowing us, next time we'll talk about what God loves. Please let me just remind us, what I'm saying is this, don't treat God like an emotionally blank person. He's not. Sometimes we'll preach as if he's like that. That's one aspect of him. The other aspect is this. You can make him smile. You can make him angry. There are things people will do. God will get up and say, I have sworn. You know, somebody, you were teaching yesterday. I want to point something out to you. I read somebody, you know, explain it. Do you know, in the whole Bible, no prophet, no judge came out of Reuben. None came from Reuben. That word that his father released, the whole lineage, they didn't produce a king, a prophet, a judge. When you were saying it, I wanted to point out, I said, maybe we'll talk about that. I didn't want to interrupt. Because he did something, and the father said, you will not excel. He said, you will not have preeminence. You're my firstborn, but you will not have preeminence. So he couldn't produce a king. Couldn't produce a prophet. Couldn't produce a judge in Israel. Benjamin produced the first king. You know what that means? I realized something. So when God was going around judging people in Israel, he didn't go to Benjamin, to Reuben. Looking for a replacement for Saul. He didn't go to Reuben. He left Reuben out. There are things that people will do. And God will swear. You were saying something yesterday when you were teaching. And there are people, sometimes they are just fighting a word that God has spoken against them. They are walking day and night. In this life, you need prophets in your life. I don't mean Elijah, David Elijah. I don't mean TB Joshua. I don't mean all those kind of funny human beings we have in this country according to the prophets. Mercy Land. I don't mean those people though. I mean real prophets. You need them in your life. Because sometimes Christians put their hands to iniquity. And God utters a word against them. And God is good. If you repent, he will forgive. But they have not repented. They have not targeted that thing. I'm doing around shouting grace. And somebody said, God is never angry. Ah, what do you mean? You can't do what he hates and he won't provoke a word against you. It's not possible. He will be unjust. That's what I mean by prophet. See, I finished my message, just gisting. There's a way I preach, all right? For those of you who don't know if you're into ministry, I was talking to one preacher the other day, I said he doesn't understand. I try to have ordered messages too when I began this work. Point one, point two, point three. When I began to follow my point one, point two, point three, and Ika was bodied, I stopped too. You know what they mean, Ika to board? I will start preaching and the glory will depart. I have to allow the prophetic word come as I teach. Because many times in people's lives, they are activating judgments against themselves. If I just stick with my other teaching, I can't help them. So I've learned to relax. Like today now, I was supposed to preach on what God loves. And I began to speak, and the speak would not stop. So I've learned not to quench the spirit. Because you, listen, if God says I hate something, he's not joking about it. And then you can learn what he loves. You can do things and God will say, Kai, that's my boy. Say, I go, you look, I say, I just like that guy. I just like that guy. And they look at him, why is he smiling? He says, Daniel, I just like him. The other people are praying. As he start praying, does he say, Mike, are you doing anything? No, Lord, answer that guy's prayer. I don't want to hear. But there are those that they want to pray. And God personally says, you know the way the Reverend Father will enter the cubicle and say, what have you come for? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. God personally stayed there. And so yeah, talk. You know why he's saying talk? I like the sound of your voice. Anything you say, it sounds good to him. God likes people. That's where I'm going. But let me end with this. You can make him like you. You can make him like you. I don't want to say you can make him dislike you. Why should you want to do that? But you can make him like you. And it's very simple. Learn what he loves. And do what? And love those things. Learn what he hates. And do what? Hate those things. And you will be specially beloved of the Lord. The angel said concerning Daniel, said you are highly esteemed. Bow your heads. And just give the Lord thanks for a few minutes this morning. Just say, Lord, thank you.